her and talking with her, and something I've never shared with anyone, but I had my best friend growing up, and their parents that I grew up with all the time, that I got to know very well, and she reminded me of that parent, just her attitude and the spirit, and so she's going to be dearly missed by everyone. She had such a loving attitude and accepting spirit, and I think that the funeral, if you were able to attend it or see it online, I think that they spoke well about her. Both Andy and Daryl did a good job, and so she will be dearly missed, and I just pray for all of us, again, that we will construct our lives and replicate some of the good things that she did. Again, if she was a loving, caring person, then we should be a loving, caring person like that. So she'll be dearly missed. All right, with our lesson this morning, we are continuing Activating Love, and the text that was so capably read for us is so widely known and accepted, John 3:16. We all know that passage. It's a passage of love that teaches us that God loved us, that he implemented this plan to save us. And so Brother Allen asked me this morning, he said, what do you want me to read? And I said, John 3:16. He said, is that it? Do you want me to read more? And I said, go ahead and read the context, because the context is what is key to that section of Scripture. When you read John chapter 3, it is a text about submission and submission to love's plan. God had a plan for us. It was a plan that we could never come up with ourselves, and it was a plan that only he could enact and implement, and he did so by dying for us on the cross. That was the greatest act of love in all of humanity. That act of love is what saves us. And it saves us from unloving choices and our self-centered hearts. It saves us from things like pride and our unloving acts. It's what saves us from being those people who are dangerous and harmful, not only to the community, but to ourselves. The Bible calls these dead works that we are saved from. And we all know the plan of redemption, right? We all know the steps. And I didn't want to mark out the steps in a PowerPoint, but what I wanted to do is give you parts to the plan, because every piece of this plan that God has given us to save us is going to be critical to our change and transformation from those unloving acts. So before Christ came into our lives, we are people who behave ungodly. We tear up relationships. We don't mend broken relationships. We distance ourselves. We alienate each other. And it's because of sin that has disrupted the connection that we have with our Father in heaven, that relationship that we can have with him. So every part to this plan of redemption, which we know so well, is going to be critical for that change to love. Hearing. Is hearing important and part of the process for change? Absolutely, it's important. Hearing is important because it frees us from those wrong beliefs that we held that caused that unloving behaviors. It frees us from those wrong beliefs. So when we come in contact with that message of love, with the right information that God gives us, that right information, that message of love, challenges us to change. It says to you that you need redemption. You need rescue. You need deliverance from your ungodly behaviors, the thing that's tearing your life into pieces and your relationships, whether that be your marriage or in the workplace or in your family, that thing that is breaking those relationships, those unloving acts. God comes in and he says, you need to hear a message of love that can change you and change those unloving acts. So that's why this is so important, because it challenges us to change. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:32? You shall know the truth, that absolute objective truth. You shall know the truth, and what will the truth do? It shall set you free. What is it setting you free from? Dead works, from sin. What are those dead works and sin? Unloving behaviors. That's the main objective of salvation. That's why God has come to save us. So it's important that we hear that message of truth that saves us from those dangerous effects of sin. The ultimate message that we get from the scriptures, which fills the book of 1 John and John itself, is that God is love. And this is that basic truth. This is that fundamental teaching that God is love that touches all of the other commands. It gives all the other directives in the scriptures meaning. So when someone says, why should I conduct myself in such a way? Why should I allow people to trample me? Why should I allow people to treat me badly and accept it and still love them? Why should I do that? Because of the message of love, because God is a God of love. That's why we accept embarrassment, we accept humiliation, we submit ourselves to that message of love. Why? Because God is love. The cross is that ultimate act and sacrificial act of love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross. Would you call that embarrassing? Would you call that humiliating? You remember what they did to him? They mocked him, they spat on him, they hit him, they humiliated him in front of people. Why did Jesus do that? For God so loved the world. Jesus says that message of love is what is going to set you free from your unloving acts today. You got to hear that message. And that's not enough. You got to implement belief. You got to believe that message of love. You got to believe it and hold on to that information, because that information is what secures your freedom from sin and those unloving acts. And again, it's important. It won't have its effect. It won't have its change in your life unless you allow the message of love to do its work, to cause those changes. So we have to embrace this truth. And that's going to be key for us when we change, when we accept and receive the benefits of this message. So belief is the part that goes beyond just hearing the message. It goes to the point that you now accept and receive Jesus as that great physician who can cure you of the sin disease, the unloving acts. So it not only says, okay, I hear it, but I think it's true, I believe it. And that's not it, and you guys know the rest. What's the next one? Repentance. Repentance is that point where the rubber meets the road, right? It's that point that you go, okay, I've heard the message of love. I have all the facts. I have all the information that God has given us. Now, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? Am I going to transform? Am I going to change? Or am I going to be unwilling to make those necessary changes that turn me away from the destructive behaviors? Or am I going to say, you know what? I have destroyed a lot of relationships. I have been a person that has broke others down, and I don't want to be unloving anymore. We change during true repentance by turning from our old life that wounded and hurt others, that old man that lived in vengeance and manipulation and pride. We turn from that. And it's love that demands this change. It's love that says, now you're in Christ, repentance, and you strive to mend those broken relationships that you've torn up. Love demands that. It necessitates that. Hearing, believing, turning, repentance are all important. Is that the end? No. Another critical part of this plan, love's plan, to save us from ourselves is confession. What is confession? What happens in confession? Confession is that point in which we admit and we submit. We admit and we submit to Jesus. We admit that Jesus has a better way, and we submit to that way. And in our admission and our submission, we're saying that Jesus knows how to handle the sin that has plagued our former relationships. It's that point in which we admit and we confess that Jesus is our guide to mend those broken relationships. Jesus has that pathway, and we're going to follow it. And we're telling the world about it. That's confession. Lastly, baptism. Those immersed into Jesus are immersed into love's plan, or are now responsible for sharing that love with other people. Now we exercise and we nurture love to become just like Jesus. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter just for a moment. I want you to see everything that we've talked about packed into this particular section of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the information, the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. Listen to this. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those are those unloving acts. Now no longer do we say, well, I have the best way, or my desires supersede your desires. Now we admit Jesus has the better pathway. Jesus' plan is better than our plan. We've admitted it. We've submitted to it. We've accepted it. We've turned from our old ways. We've trust and believe that message that he's given us because we've heard it. It says, now you don't remain stagnant in your love, but you begin to grow into it. Look at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, you're adding to this faith that saves you virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. And look at the last one. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness what? Love. Because ultimately, it's all about love. And you're saying, now, Brother Doug, hold on. We're talking about baptism here. Look what Peter goes on to say. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. You know how Jesus lived and how he conducted himself and the message of love that he's given us, demonstrated for us on the cross. You know how to live now. You follow his example. And if you do that, then you'll be fruitful. Verse 9. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. And listen to what he says. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. What's the point in time in which we're cleansed? You forgot about your baptism. You forgot that God washed away that old person. That he created your new heart in that moment. You forget that when you act unloving. All the blessings in the plan. Romans 3, 23 through 26. What the writer is doing for us is he's building up this great act of justification on the cross for us by faith. This act of love of Jesus on the cross. So Romans chapter 1, he ends up addressing the Gentiles and says, everyone's a sinner. Romans chapter 2, even you Jews are sinners just like the Gentiles. Romans chapter 3, everybody's a sinner. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, now God has come to fix your sin problem by sending his son and dying for you on the cross. That's Romans 3, 23. So it's this payment that Jesus made for you to satisfy this offended party. Now, the offended party in our sinful acts, in our unloving acts, is ultimately God. God feels the pain of all of our unloving behaviors that tear up the relationships. God doesn't want us to live that way. So when we tear down relationships and we break relationships that we have with people, God is affected by that. And he says, I don't like that. That doesn't represent me. That's not the plan. That's not the direction I want you to go. I want you to stop that. And he's made this way by sending his son. So he took care of these offenses. And it's propitiation, Romans 3, 23 through 26, and 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's propitiation that appeases God's wrath for our unloving acts. God says, I'm not happy with the way you live. So he sends his son, and those who follow his son and who have been redeemed from those sinful acts by his son receive the blessings of propitiation. Now we don't have to face the wrath of God. So it's propitiation that recognizes the seriousness of sin as a relational offense that must be appeased and corrected. That's what propitiation does for us. That's the great blessing, or one of the great blessings, in the plan of love. Number two is reconciliation. Reconciliation recognizes that we need to be reunited with those who we've become estranged from. So those broken relationships, when we become estranged from people, reconciliation reunites us together. So it means that there's been a tearing apart, a rift in this relationship due to sin. And since you've been reunited, reconciled with each other, reconciliation demands it rejoices in that new relationship, that mended relationship. So one of the blessings, propitiation. Another blessing, reconciliation. And what about the last one, adoption? That's one of the great blessings in God's plan of love. We're adopted into this family of love. A family that has been adopted by our Father of love. And it's this change in our legal status that is not only recognized by God, but it's recognized by all of our siblings. So one of the great blessings in this plan is that we've become a member of God's household. We've been adopted into this family of love. And when we recognize this, we'll realize that now we have responsibilities to accept all of God's adopted children, all of the old ones and the new ones that God brings in. That's our blessing and responsibility. Blood in the plan. There has to be blood in the plan. Jesus, who died for us on the cross, shed his blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, those unloving sinful acts, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So all of the other things that we've mentioned in the plan and all of the other blessings mentioned in this plan all relate back to the precious blood of Jesus. This act of sacrificial love gave us a new relationship with God, and now it gives us the strength to construct those new godly relationships with each other. We now live, and according to 1 John 3, 16 and 17, like Jesus lived, who laid down his life, we too lay down our lives for our brethren. If they have a need, we try to fulfill it. If they have a desire, we try to be there for them to fulfill that desire. So that means that we've now accepted the blood, we've come in contact with the blood and that saving act of grace on the cross. That means that now we renounce our former ways of living and our false beliefs that tore down relationships, and we see our aim. And our aim is to take our obedience all the way to the cross, that I'll be willing to die for you and you would be willing to die for me. That's the standard that Jesus set for us. And you might be sitting here this morning going, you know what? I don't have that standard. I'm not willing to go that far with someone. Well, that means you don't understand the plan. The plan includes blood. That means sacrifice. That means you're willing to give up your life for the betterment of someone else. This is the most crucial part in the plan. This is where we're rooted and grounded in love when we contact that blood. This is why people are willing to give up their time, energy, and their possessions. It's because the cross has shown us this better way. The cross is the better way of love. The cross is where Jesus shed his blood, illuminating the plan of love like nothing else could. So when we see the cross, we see the blood. We see the fulfillment of his plan for us. God's plan, salvation. Love's plan is to save us from ourselves. Love's plan is to save us from who we once were. Saving us from our selfishness, saving us from our estranged relationships and our alienation from our fellow man. It saves us from the wrath of a loving God who patiently waits for us to change our unloving ways. Love's plan is to save us from a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where all of the hateful and cruel people from all time will be. Love's plan is to save us from that place. The saved can now take pleasure in having fellowship with all the loved who have gone on before us, all those who live with the God of love. This is a place where the light of love is never extinguished. Heaven is a place and foremost a place of love, untainted by sin, unended by time. It's a place where God and the Son of his love dwell. Without love's plan to save us, the love of this kind that we're trying to achieve from heaven would be impossible. This morning, have you followed the plan of love? Have you followed the plan of redemption to save you from your unloving acts, from your sinful behaviors? If not, then how can you enjoy the blessings? How can you come in contact with the blood? How can you have love if you don't know God? The answer is you can't. You'll have a worldly love, but not a godly love. This morning, we encourage you to have God's love. Follow his plan. If you're a person and you know that you're living in darkness and you're living estranged from God and you have broken relationships, the scriptures teach us to change, accept, and receive Jesus as your guide, as your Savior, as your King, who can then change your life. It's going to take submission and surrender on our part. We encourage you this morning, before you leave here, surrender to love's plan to save you. You have this opportunity as we stand and we sing.
Oh, God. sing verse 1 and verse 3.
To 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we will start in verse 24. This is a chapter in which Paul is reminding the church at Corinth about their proper attitude in taking the Lord's Supper. Thought it was a good passage to reflect on as we take ours this morning. Starting in verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank you for a chance to be reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus. God, we thank you that he was willing to do that on our behalf. And we ask that our thoughts will turn to that sacrifice, not just at this time this morning, but throughout the week, as we think about how we can be more like him and tell others the old story and show them the love that he had in sacrificing himself. And we thank you again for that, and pray that we will now take this in a worthy manner. And in Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow once again. Lord, we thank you for the reminder of the blood of Christ. God, we thank you for the cleansing power that we know is only in it. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to tell others about that, to tell them where they can have access to it. We thank you again for cleansing us with it. And thank you once again for sending Christ to the cross and that he was willing to do so. And in Jesus' name, amen. We also have an opportunity at this time, separate from the Lord's Supper, to give back to the church. We have some baskets in the back that you can place your offering in. You can also do so online if you wish. Please bow with me. Lord, we are thankful for all the blessings that we have in our lives. We know that we certainly don't deserve them, but we thank you for letting us especially live in a country where they are so plentiful. Lord, we ask that you would help us to give generously and to not be greedy with what we have, but to always look for ways in which we can give back to you and give to the church and give to those in need. And we thank you again for blessing us in that way. And in Christ's name, amen.
On the promises.
for this day, this Sunday, that you've given us the chance to come worship you and gather together. We're thankful for the church and your son who died on that cross for our many sins. We pray for the sick, the ones that were mentioned in the announcements. We pray especially for Martha Coleman and family and those also that are sick, and special prayer and comfort to Eddie Graves and the family as they're here today, and place your hand on them, give them comfort for their loss of Beverly. We pray that you give us a safe return next appointed time, and we pray for, as we met yesterday, for the future of our youth here at Center Chapel, and we have a great plan that looks to be in place to continue to grow and give the youth a great knowledge and understanding of your word as we grow together here. Forgive us for our many sins, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.